Hallelujah. Thank you for faith. Thank you for grace. Thank you for Jesus Christ. I think I'm going to read. Then I jump to the verse 9. Then I'll keep reading. Then I go part to part. Piece by piece. Verse 9 says, then he said, here I am. This is Jesus Christ saying, I have come to your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. He's talking about the covenant. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Thank you, Jesus. 13 said, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the Lord. You can read all chapter Hebrews 10. Actually, I have I could have hundreds of scriptures here talking about Jesus Christ dying for us. He shed his blood. He paid the price. We didn't deserve. We are sinners. We didn't deserve, but he did for to save us. He did for us. God sent his only begotten son to save us when we were in the world. So many scriptures. When we start studying or reading about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what he did is forgiveness of sin. We just start rejoicing because he did so great things, so many great things for us when we didn't deserve. And then the first thing I called my attention is when he says the law is only the shadow of the good things that are coming. So in the Old Covenant and the Old Testament, when the people before Jesus died and raised from the dead was just a shadow. He couldn't understand everything. It was prophecies that they not everybody could understand. Actually, nobody could understand. They were prophesying. They could see things happening in their lives, but they couldn't understand completely what's supposed to happen with Jesus Christ. But God used that. God used something that was expressing or showing them what's supposed to happen in the future, but wasn't an animal, wasn't the lamb, was the Lamb of God to do what he's supposed to do, to save their lives. So it was a natural thing. They were believing in God, they were obeying God, they were killing the animals, the lamb, perfect ones, to offer sacrifice to God. And since the beginning, the sacrifice of blood is involved in those sacrifices. Actually, since Adam and Eve, they sinned. Then the first animal died. First animal died to cover their shame. It's always, since the beginning, the shadow God is showing. When you start reading the Bible, it's always pointing to Jesus Christ. Always showing the work of the cross. Always show. We have the big privilege that we are not expecting for something that's going to happen in the future like them. But we are living in the time that already happened. And we are rejoicing. We are celebrating that. We are living that in our lives. That's why we live in the better covenant. The better covenant. Then Adam and Eve, we see that. We see the first murder. The first people got died. Because of the sin. Sin is something that came to this world. And then with the sin, death came. We didn't supposed to die. Adam and Eve, Abel, Cain, or the other ones. We don't supposed to live forever. This is the kind of life we're gonna live. This is we are not facing yet because that's the last enemy is gonna be destroyed, overcome. But you know, when I read and I was reading this again, I realized, you know, there's so many things that we see that we are not living yet. We're gonna live forever. The kind of life God had for us, the purpose of living the eternal life, is going to happen in our lives in the future. So we have eternal life in God through Jesus Christ. So talking about animals and blood again, he accepted Abel's offering. He accepted that. He looked favor on Abel and his offering. Genesis 22 talks about Isaac. Abram, God came and talked to Abram and said, I want you to give Isaac as a sacrifice. Again, God was talking about sacrifice. Give your best, Abraham. Because Isaac was the promise. Isaac was the best. Isaac was the most important thing in Abraham's life. So was the shadow what's supposed to happen in the future. God was giving his best. But when the situation comes after 3 days, and then the son asked the father, that's terrible to hear. Hey, dad, father, I can see the fire, I can see the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? And I see and an amazing thing Abraham answered. He said, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. God will provide. And then we are walking in sin. We are walking in darkness, under the power of darkness. And then God provided Jesus Christ to die for us, for our sins, our iniquities. So God provided. God is the Lamb. And I see in the other perspective of that story, I see, well, the Lamb, like Jesus Christ was the Lamb that God provided for Abraham not to kill him. But you know, and I've heard many years ago, somebody saying, give your Isaac. But that's something that calls our obedience. When I've heard that first time, somebody was teaching us and saying, God asks you, you have to give the best. So give whatever you think is the best. Sometimes we don't want to give our own lives. We don't want to give our cars, our houses, our money, our friendship, our friends in the world. We don't want to give so many things to the Lord. And then he says, give your Isaac, because Isaac was the best for Abraham. I'm not saying he was a bad thing, but just a parallel. Hey, if you give what you're supposed to give, what you have to give, God will provide the lamb. God will provide everything. And he provided Jesus Christ. When we gave Jesus Christ to us, then we said, Lord, I give my life to you and I don't want to live that life. That life is dead. Thank you for forgiveness. From now, I'm going to start again in you. So sometimes we need to give Isaac's. If I can say Isaac's in the plural. Things that is holding you to have the whole thing from the Lord. Sometimes we are holding things from our past that we shouldn't hold that. God already provided Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for us. We are in Him and He is in us. So things from the past, no, live in the past. And the great story in the Bible that really shows us is a shadow, but shows us what's supposed to happen in the future when Jesus Christ comes to die for us. It is in Exodus 12. It's just a reminder for you. Or for some of you, it's something new. But, you know, in Exodus 12 is when God was taking his people from bondage, from slavery, from Egypt. So they were living in Egypt. And the whole whole nation of Israel was there. But they were under the authority of the enemy. They were following the law of the enemy, the other gods. They were living under oppression. They were living under the control of the Pharaoh. Wasn't their land. There wasn't freedom for them to do whatever they want to do. So they were living in that situation. And the Lord said, I'll bring you to freedom, to liberty. He will say, I'm going to take these people out of Egypt and bring to the promised land. God was promising something really important, the same way he promised us today. So when we are in Jesus Christ, we are living in another situation, not under the controlling of the world, but now we are under the power of God. So what he did, again, the lamb and the blood. It's okay. This is the sacrifice I want. Take the lamb, cut him, and then put the blood on the door frame and paint with the blood. And when the angel of death comes and passes over, won't touch the people of God. That's why we call Passover. That's why we call Passover. And then he killed all the firstborn men, guys, everything. I was thinking about this, how cruel that was. Can you imagine how many people, so many times, how many times we see in the Old Covenant, God saying, no, everybody, the firstborn will die. The whole nation will die. Kill everyone. So, you know, I was saying, Lord, that was cruel. But because of this, a shadow of the future, it's a shadow of what's going to happen. Then we can see it, we think it's cruel. But when we are not preaching or delivering this message, it's exactly what God is telling me. He said, you know, if you don't preach the gospel, if people don't accept Jesus Christ in their life, if they don't have the blood of Jesus on them, the blood of Lamb on them, protecting them, then we'll die. And die. Oh, die? No, but Christians die. But I'm not talking about the natural. We're going to die, separate this our soul, our spirit from this body. That's okay. Christians die. But I'm talking eternal death. So, you know, one day, everybody will bow down before the Lord. And it's going to be cruel. But he's going to say, you go to stay with me forever. And you go to hell. I'm sorry. Death. Eternal death. Eternal separation from God. This is what happened. So you know they are not living that. They are not living that situation. You are. So you live because you have the blood of the Lamb on your door. But they don't have. They'll die. This is the way it's going to happen in the future. That's why it causes me to say, no, I have to do something else. We have to reach out the lost. Because one day we'll see the angel of death and the judgment of God and say, okay, can you imagine the people going to hell and living separately from God forever? It's the same picture I have when I read this scripture. I don't want to see that happen at all. Was cruel? We'll be cruel. But God is a good God, but he's also justice. His justice. There's one scripture, I don't remember where it is. It's a hard thing is to fall into his hand. How does in the hands of the living God? It's a tough thing. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Exodus 12, 1 says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, This month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that On the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. I'm not reading anything. The one thing I want to pick from this scripture is the month, this month is to be for you the first month. God was telling his people, you know, when you get out of this land, when you go to the land I'm promising you, when the Passover happened, and then and you are free to go, that's going to be the first year. That's going to be the new beginning for you. That's going to be brand new. So now you're walking with me, not under pressure again, no under the sin again, no under their law again, no under the oppression of the enemy again. So now, you not in their land, in their now you are with me. I'm leading you. Now you're gonna walk as a God's nation, and you're gonna be free, and you're gonna celebrate because you have the blood of Jesus, the Lamb, on you. We are this connection again. So now you have your land. You go toward your land. Now you can follow my law, my rules, my life. So it's brand new. He was telling his people, now we will start over again. And that just reminds me when you're born again. So when you're born again, it's the same. We are not under the darkness anymore, the darkness, dominion of darkness. We are not under the oppression. We are not under the control of the enemy. He has no control over us. So now we are in Jesus Christ, and we should start counting our lives from that day. Start over again, church. Say, when? How old are you? Maybe 30, 28. You don't look like 28 years old. Yeah, but I am. Because that Delson is dead. I born again, and I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. I'm living in God and living for God. And I was born. This is my birth certificate now. God made new. I never thought about that way. But he made everything new. Everything new. 2 Corinthians talked about that. Anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. You are new in Christ Jesus. Brand new in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's so many young people here that you don't. Brian, how old are you? One? No, you are 1 year old. 1 year old. One. Amen. So make everything new in your life. Since we got born again, we are new. We are brand new again. So we have a new life. Let things from the past in the past. Okay? Things that you were living, we were living in that world outside without Jesus Christ. It was the place they were before. So leave things behind. Angry things. If you got hurt, just leave behind. Unforgiveness, leave behind. Sickness and disease, leave behind. Amen. Because they were walking in the desert without any sickness and disease. In the desert, walking with the Lord, no sickness, no disease. Maybe how many? 3 million people. So walking without any disease, no hospitals there. They were growing provision, clothes, food, protection. That is the new kind of life when we accept Jesus Christ in our lives. This is when the resurrection happened and we decided to believe in that and give our lives to Jesus. This is what happened. The same way he took his people from Egypt, from the bondage, from the slavery. So the same happened when we gave our life to Jesus Christ. That was just a shadow, but that happened. And it's real now. It's real. A new land, we are walking. Oh, but there's so many situations in my life. They were walking in the desert. Was cold at night? A column of fire. Was hot in the morning? Like the clouds protecting them. So protection all the time. They were hungry? Okay. Manna. Oh, I'm tired of manna. Then the quails. I'll say the birds. Quail. So provision. The protection, provision. You know, he was God was taking care of them. God is taking care of us. So we are walking every day under the power of resurrection, the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have protection, we have provision, we have healing is involved, salvation is involved. You know, maybe this is not the promised land. Maybe if you see the shadow now, maybe we are in that process. We left the darkness, but we are kind of, this world is kind of the desert that we're walking. If we obey and keep obeying, we jump to the promised land. And we're going to live forever with the Lord. Is that awesome? So when you see the people of God walking in the desert, it's like us walking in this earth. Situation comes all the time. But we have two things to do. Believe or not believe in what God has prepared for us. If we are walking in this, in this path, in this earth, so we have two choices, believe or not believe. I believe in healing, I believe in provision, I believe in protection, I believe in everything God has promised to me. So I will live that life in this earth. I'm not waiting for, oh, I have to suffer in this earth to be able to jump to the promised land. God didn't say that. He said, no, you can go, you can leave. I'm protecting you, I'm making everything to you to have a good life. Instead of, I'm going to go to heaven to have a wonderful life. No, no, start bringing the heaven to earth and enjoying a wonderful life in this earth. Because Jesus Christ paid the price. He said, there's no suffering. You don't need to suffer anymore. That could be the whole message. All message. 6 seconds. You don't need to suffer anymore. Jesus already paid the price for you. Done. Let's go home. That's it. When you get that revelation, that's it. We just celebrate. Can you imagine every day? Hey, you come to me and say, hey, Pastor, those situations hard, you know. Oh, you know, you have this, you have that, and so, you know. Oh, that's okay. I'm Christ, and Christ is in me. Because of resurrection, because I believe in Him, I have provision for everything. I have healing for it. I have everything I need. So, you know, it's good. It's good. Simple. No, I don't accept suffering because He already suffered for me. Amen? So this is the first thing. We started over again when we were born again. What things that you are facing right now but belongs to the old man, leave behind. Leave behind. Now you have the blood of Jesus on you. Okay? The devil, he's looking for someone he can touch. He's looking for. Why he cannot find you? Because you have the protection of the body of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. When he sees that, he runs away. Because we know what he did on that cross. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'll jump this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll read this. Exodus 12, the same 12, but 24, says, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as He promised, observe this ceremony. And that's why I want the kids to have communion with us today. I was reading this. And 26 says, and when your children ask you, what does the ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it's the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when they struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. When the kids comes and we have communion, I will give you 2 minutes to explain to them why we are having this ceremony, why we are doing what we are doing. So you're going to say it's because Jesus Christ died on that cross and He raised from the dead. The power of God raised Him from the dead. And because of that, we live today. We have forgiveness of sins. We have the presence of God in us. Tell them, you know, the devil cannot touch your life. You were protected by the blood of Jesus. That's why we're celebrating. Make this, we have to remember and remember. This is not religious like he was talking before. So they do year after year, month after month. This is not a natural thing. That's a religious thing. This is a spiritual thing. He asked us to remind what he did on that cross. So we have to do. Remember when you have communion, we read in Corinthians, and they say, you know, examine yourselves. So many people are weak, they're dying early because they don't discern what happened on the cross. People are dying without understanding that healing belongs to them, that salvation belongs to them. They are dying because they don't discern what Jesus Christ did on the cross. If you don't discern that, if you don't understand, if you don't get that revelation, you won't live what you're supposed to live. They are accepting sickness and disease. They still have an unforgiveness in their hearts. They still hurt for situations that happened in the past because they're not discerning what Jesus Christ did, and he paid the price for us. So we don't need to suffer anymore. So when we discern the body of Christ and what he did on the cross, we don't accept that anymore. So we won't be weak. We won't be dying earlier. We will fulfill what God calls us to fulfill. Amen? So this is what is good when say they obeyed. They obeyed just the Lord commanded. They obeyed. Obedience is always involved. Amen? And the second, from that scripture in Hebrews, the first thing is this. We started over again. Amen? Brand new, Delson, in Christ Jesus. So leave things from the dead Delson behind. Sometimes we, husbands and wife, we talk about, you know, but remember when that happened? Oh, that guy is dead. So why you will remember that? It's a good thing to stop arguing, husbands and wives. Because like Mark Kong, he says, some guy says boxes, and we open one box at a time. So let's talk about this, let's talk about church, let's talk about Jesus, then we talk. But the ladies has wires, and like many wires. And it's funny because he says sometimes the one touch the other one. And then the ladies, they remember something that happened like 35 years ago. And say, hey, how are you today? Nothing. I'm sad. Because what happened? Remember 45 years ago when you said that to me? Come on. That guy is dead. The new one won't say that anymore. So leave things behind. We are brand new in Christ Jesus. And the second thing is important when it says Christ sacrificed once for all. He sacrificed. And verse 9 says, then he said, here I am. I have come to you, to your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For all. Jesus Christ. When you were, if I said, Lord, can you hear me? Can you heal me? Is your will to heal me? It's like, Lord, can you die again on the cross? Because that didn't work. I'm sick. No, he did once for all. There's no way for Jesus Christ to die again on the cross. He fulfilled everything. It's done, church. Now we have to receive by faith. By faith. By faith. Faith. Please the Lord. Faith is the only way we receive everything he already did on that cross. He won't die again. It's not like the lamb. It's not like bulls or goats that you have to do to cover the sins. He paid the price. He remembers no more. He remembers no more. He won't remember. Why you are trying to bring that back to you? He doesn't remember. I like testimonies. But sometimes we have ceremonies. Can I say that? Sad, so sad, because people spend like 40 minutes saying, I was in this position, I was dying, I was that kind of sickness. So we know, oh, that was to glorify the Lord. So we know, I was addicted with this, I was in this situation, I didn't have any food on my table, I didn't have anything, I was dying, I was living on streets, and I was 40 minutes later, they said, it was like, oh my goodness, where is God? He's late. No, you know, and then say 40 minutes later, they say, okay, but yeah, Jesus Christ died and I'm saved and thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Let's do some. You know, we have to exalt Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. Testimonies. He did once for all. We don't have to keep remembering. Of course, sometimes say, yes, I had in that position. And I know you can get rid of that position. Because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Make Him your Lord and Savior. So we have to do something. But we don't have to keep reminding us the way we were before we get saved. Remember? He made us new. So now we don't remember. He won't die again. He did everything. Now we just, He says, just remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We do as a ceremony, an ordinance. We do every month or every day or every week, whatever is the frequency you want to do. The communion, every time we have communion, is to you to remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Not for us to remember how we were before Jesus Christ. Get rid of that. Get rid of that. Amen? So there are just a few scriptures. So because Jesus Christ did once for all, because He is the Lamb of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 says that, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. I like when John Baptist said, you know, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, well, that's the Lamb of God. That's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Romans 4, 25 says, He was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. When we accept Jesus Christ, we have the justification because it's part of the whole process. That's why we are singing today. That we can stand before Him, faultless. Faultless. Don't let the enemy tell you what you were before, what you still think. No, He already forgave you. If there's something attacking you, get rid of that. And then say, Lord, if you have to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. But you have a new nature, new creature. So He has made us righteousness of God. Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's why Jesus Christ had to die and shed His blood. Amen? For forgiveness of sin. 1 Corinthians 6:20, Amplified Version says, you were bought with a price. You were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made His own. Hallelujah. So then, honor and glorify God with your body. 1 Peter 1:18 says the same, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life. Empty way of life. Handed down to you from your ancestors. You know, that's good. Because sometimes people say, you know, I have this problem because my father, my mom, or my grandma, she died because of cancer. You know? And she had some problem in her intestine, and then she had cancer and she died. Do you believe what? My sister has the same kind of issue. And she was saying, oh, I'm wondering because your grandma died with cancer because you should make it. No, come on. Thank Lord my mom got saved. Thank Lord. Because sometimes it's like we are religious. Come by tradition. So if my grandparents had something, No, no, we are new again. Remember, we started over again and we don't have that. So we won't receive from our ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So we don't accept anything comes from tradition. Or someone wants to put over your life and then give to you as a gift. It's not a gift. Oh, your grandma had, you're going to have. No, no. We are healed in Jesus' name. Colossians 1:13 says, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him we have redemption through the blood for forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Like the first one I read when I before I start preaching, it says Hebrews 10 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body." I'm reading many scriptures just to you to remember, bring to your remembrance, to your memory, what the blood of Jesus means, what the blood of Jesus did for us. So we are saved. We are new creation. We have protection. We have everything. We are not living under the power of darkness anymore. See, Colossians is talking about all the scriptures I was reading. We are not living in that position anymore, church. We have forgiveness of sin. What happened before, it stays before. So now we are new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? And the third thing I want to share with you after I get in. Thank you. And says, I read before, but just remind you, "I will put my laws in their hearts." It's not by repetition or tradition or religion. It's not about tradition. He said, "I will put my laws in their hearts." The changing is inside. You won't see in the beginning. Of course, the result you'll see. The actions will change. The way you speak will change. The way you dress will change. Things change. But He's going to put in our hearts. Salvation is in our heart. Now the circumcision, it's not the natural way. Circumcision in our hearts. In our hearts. It's inside. It's the changing. It's from inside out. Jesus said, now salvation is from inside out. He cleans us, He forgives us, and He comes to dwell inside of us. And then our relationship with God through the Spirit of God, the Spirit of us. So dealing every day, renewing our minds, then we start changing outside. But this is the way it works. That's why I said, He forgave us. You don't see. I don't see forgiveness. I don't see it. We don't need to see, church. Come on. One of my favorite scripture is in Isaiah 53. You know, probably is your favorite too. "So surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted." We didn't see that happening. I didn't see Jesus Christ on the cross. But I believe what happened. Okay? So she took our suffering. He was punished instead of me. He was afflicted instead of me. But He was pierced for our transgressions. And He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And I've learned that before. I've learned then, and I've learned with Bryce as well about iniquities and transgressions. Sometimes I read, I don't understand. And something, when it talks about transgressions, it's something outward bleeding. It's something outside. It's something that something that happens, that the action of sin. The action of sin. And people say, "Oh, no, I'm not walking in sin because I'm not killing anybody. I'm not, cheating my wife, or I'm not stealing anything." That's the transgression. That's something that happens. It's outside. And I believe, and I've heard that, and I believe that's why he was wounded. Because wounded is from outside. It's bleeding from outside. So it's from outside. And sometimes Christians, they say, no, I'm okay with God. It's okay. But something is wrong in the root of that. Something behind. Something behind. Have you ever had a discerning the spirit that says something is behind that situation? And that is when they said bruised for our iniquities. It's kind of the root of the sin nature. This is what I've learned from the root of the sin nature. Equipping school was great. We should start saying, more equipping school. More equipping school. Okay. Next. And then bruised is like inward bleeding. It's inside. You see the bruise, and then because it's bleeding inside. And God is saying he was bruised because it was something he was doing inside. He was cleaning us from outside. The sins that you see, your actions of sin and everything. But he always forgave us from things that is inside. The hurt that anybody sees. The unforgiveness that anybody sees. The things that happened in the past that is still here. And you don't know how to get rid of that. You know, it's by faith. Because Jesus Christ already paid the price for all kinds of sins. The ones you see and the ones you don't see. But it's there. Is there. You were clean. I'm clean. Outside. Inside. You know, it's something is still in your heart. You say, I don't know how to get rid of that. You know, it's by faith because he already paid the price for that as well. I'm hurt because of that situation. You know, I know people. They are hurt for years and years and years and years and years. They need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. No. God already forgave them. They need faith. They need revelation. They need to understand he cleans us outside and inside. That's why Matthew 5, 6, when he's talking about people who steal murders. And people say, we didn't kill anybody. Oh, you are doing this. When you see another lady with a bad intention, or, you know, the translator, the Bible translator, but that what means. If you see, and then, I didn't cheat. I didn't do anything. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't. And the Lord says, no, but if in your heart, that is iniquity. So you sinned already because of that, because it's from action of sin and inside as well. It's transgression and iniquity. So we are clean of that. Yes. Forgive you. Something come to your heart and you just reject and say, Lord, you forgave me. Forgive me, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And why it's so important to believe in the resurrection of Christ. Man. You know why? One statement I can explain that. Because if you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, you are not saved. No, but I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Done. No. It's wrong. It's wrong because the Bible doesn't say that. You know, there's so many Christians, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I've heard about Jesus Christ. I'm going to church. I was going to church, Methodist church, since I was born until 18 years old. And one day the pastor was preaching and he said, and they have to born again. And I went there and said, are you sure? Because I was born in a Christian family. I don't really understand this. The Bible says, I'll read Romans 10:9, Amplified Bible says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If it's here, for me, is the truth. If it's here, it's because it's important. Maybe you say, I've heard about Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, I'm a Catholic guy. I'll grow up in a Catholic church. I've heard about Jesus. I'm a Christian. Yeah, you're saying, you know, if you need to make Jesus Lord and Savior, yes. But some people don't really understand it. They don't really get that they need to believe. Always faith is involved. Is involved. The Bible says, oh, why it's so important? Why we're celebrating resurrection? Because we are celebrating our salvation. The day we said, I believe and I confess with my mouth Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And because I believe that God raised him from the dead. Because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because I believe in the word of the cross. Because I believe that Jesus Christ died. He went to hell. When Patricia came first time from Rema and said that to me, I said, no, you will stop doing that Bible study. I've never heard about Jesus Christ, the Lord, my Lord, Son of God, going to hell and being cursed. I didn't understand. Maybe the Methodist Church teaches that, but I, you know, no revelation, no interest in to learn, because I was obligated to go to church. It wasn't my will to go. But, you know, if Resurrection Day is a day to celebrate, because you can say, I'm saved because Jesus raised from the dead. That's why I'm celebrating his resurrection. Amen. That's the way it works. And if it doesn't, if 1 Corinthians talks about something really, no, I'm going to jump that. I'm going for one that says, if you don't believe in Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Futile. You are still in your sins. Now you understand how important it is. How good it is to celebrate God's Jesus Christ's resurrection. Because of this. Because if he didn't raise from the dead, your faith is in vain. You are in sin. Are you in sin? No, I'm not. Because I believe Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I finish here, can Alonir, I picked you. Call the children for us to have communion together. 15:17. Hallelujah. Ephesians, why are we waiting for the kids? A few more scriptures to at least to try to get a smile from you today. Ephesians 1:22 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and authority and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Amen. Amen. Everything's under our feet. Everything. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because you confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Believing that God raised him from the dead. You got saved. So everything that Jesus put under his feet is also under our feet. Don't see the situation at the same level of you. Don't see that with the same power that you have. Don't look to their eyes. Just look down. See, because the situations are there. It's under our feet. What is happening in your life right now that's not really good? So, you know, just step on it. And say, no, stay there. Devil is there. Devil is there. And the last scripture, while we wait for them, I said I had many scriptures that encouraged me. When I read, encouraged me every day. And this is one of my favorite ones. It's Colossians 2:12. It says, having been buried, I know what's wrong, but I didn't know how to say. Buried, yeah. I knew, but I just forgot. bury with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the work in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So we are in him. We are in him. Also raised you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead raised you from the dead. We were dead in our transgressions. 13 says, when you were dead in your sins. See, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made public a spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ paid the price. There's no debt anymore. You know, it's the same. This is simple to understand. If you have a debt to pay, but it's a big one, and you have no way to pay your debt, and you know someone is going to charge you, but you still have no way to pay for the debt. It's too much for you. It's too much. Then after charging you, someone will condemn you. But you still have no money to pay your debt. Then you're probably going to be condemned to go to jail, prison. No, can you imagine someone loving you so much, loving you the way that you, the next day, when instead of you go to jail, someone comes to you and says, you are free. Someone paid for your debt. Someone paid for your sins. But I don't deserve. How somebody did that? So you don't need to deserve, because that person loved you so much. He loves you so much to the point to pay for all your debts. All your debts. Now you were free. Free to go. Some people say like, Am I? Should I go? Should I stay? I know. But no, we are free. We are free, church. Jesus Christ paid the debt. When he raised from the dead, it was done. He nailed all the charges against you. All the condemnation that's supposed to be in your life, he nailed on the cross. That's so powerful, because every time the devil sees the cross, he sees an empty cross. So actually, he doesn't see an empty cross. Oh, that's a revelation for me. He sees that charge on that cross. So no, by my blood, I bought this guy, and you cannot touch his life. He's free now. Take your hands out of his life. Take your hands out of his family's lives. Take your hands out of his church. Take your hands out of my church. So the devil doesn't see the empty cross. He sees that paper, spiritual paper, that Jesus Christ nailed on that cross. He said, and the end of that paper has, you know, I was here before, but now I'm not here because I'm alive. Bye-bye, devil. You lost. I think he did that. Devil, you lost. So they are free in me. You lost. Hallelujah. Hey, ushers, let's distribute the elements. He lost. Can you imagine that? What's the message you're supposed to give to the devil in that paper? My message was that you are late. You are late. You lost my life. I belong to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray for the elements and then deliver the elements. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We do this in remembrance of you, Lord Jesus, in your resurrection, Lord. The death on the cross, the burial, and the resurrection that brought us life, that brought us forgiveness of sin. So, Lord, we will remind that every day in our lives. And today, we will remind our children that what you did on that cross, also for them to understand and remind that we have you dwelling inside of us because of your faithfulness and because our faith, believing in you, Lord. in what you did. So, Lord Jesus, I bless these elements. And when you have these elements, Lord, I know you're going to minister to each one of us and ministry what happened in that cross and what we need to hear today. So, Lord, I bless in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Can you stand up, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.